If the gospel story had quit last Sunday, we would have Jesus in the tomb. But it didn't stop there. And today we're going to talk about the most wonderful thing about the gospel. If you will turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, "For I delivered to you," Paul writes, "as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." There's a triad here. Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ rose again. And we're going to talk this morning about the resurrection and why it is so important. Let's just pray. Now, Father, we thank you this morning that we have a Savior in heaven who is alive. He was not conquered by death, but he conquered it. Help us this morning to understand the importance of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we ask it in his name. Amen. There are three groups of three words as you read the gospel account of Jesus' trial and death and resurrection. One of them was Jesus on the cross, and he said these three words, "Father, forgive them." Tremendous statement. Here's a man who had been beaten so badly that he was unrecognizable, and yet from the cross he could say, "Father, forgive them." Can you imagine that? I don't think I could have done, I know I couldn't have done that. I'd want revenge, but Jesus was God, and he forgave those who mistreated him. Here's another thing that Jesus said in a loud voice. Right at the end, he said, "It is finished." And by that, he meant that the work of Calvary was all done. The work of salvation was all done. There's nothing else to do. You cannot do anything to add to what Jesus has done because he said, "It's finished. It's all over. I paid the price." And then three more words, not said by Jesus, but said by angels. "He has risen." He has risen. Amen? Amen? We don't serve a dead Savior, because if we did, we would have no hope. We serve and love and know a risen Savior who's in heaven today. He rose from the dead. And I think perhaps the three most incredible words that the disciples ever heard in all the time they were with Jesus was those words from the angel, "He has risen." All their hope for salvation was gone when Jesus died, but those three words must have perked them up something tremendous. "He has risen." So why is it so important? Why is the resurrection so incredibly important? Because Jesus proved by rising from the dead that he was who he said he was, that he was God, that he did have power over death. That's why the resurrection is a foundation stone of Christianity. Every other religion remember a dead leader whose body is still in the grave. We remember one who died but rose again. And only God could do that. Jesus warned his disciples three times that he was going to die, but he also said he would rise again. If you turn in Matthew chapter 16, so the disciples shouldn't have been surprised when he died. They were disappointed because the hopes of their Messiah were dashed. But in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day." It seems like the disciples stopped listening when he got to the point that he was going to be killed. They didn't remember that he was going to rise again. The next chapter, chapter 17. And verse 22, "And while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day.'" Didn't remember that part. did they? And in chapter 20, Matthew 20 and verse 17, as Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and on the way he said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death, and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him, and on the third day he will be raised up." And that's who we remember. That's who we remember just an hour ago. If you weren't here for the 9:30 meeting, we remembered the fact that Jesus died, but right now we're thinking about him rising again, because without that resurrection, we would have nothing. In Matthew 26, you just turn over a couple of pages, Matthew 26 and verse 32. Well, verse 31, "Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee.'" And so he warned them that he was going to rise from the dead. He warned them he was going to die. He warned them that he would rise again. He told them, "We'll meet in Galilee," and they didn't remember what he said. I wonder if it's because the grief of the fact that their Messiah was killed was so strong that they gave up hope. We remember a living Savior. When Jesus took Peter, James, and John up onto the mountain and was transfigured before them, you remember that story, he said to them on the way down, "Don't tell anybody about this until when? Until I've risen from the dead." And so the disciples were warned over and over again that he was going to rise. We get the statement of the fact of his resurrection. The angels mention it. The 11 apostles mention it in Luke 24, and the two on the road to Emmaus mentioned it. Remember the story of the two that were going back to their home? They were terribly upset because everything had gone wrong. The one that they thought was going to be this Messiah had died. He'd been buried. And as they went along, Jesus came along beside them, and he said, "What's wrong?" "Well, don't you know what's happened? Tell me." You notice Jesus didn't say no, because that would have been a lie, right? If he said, "No, I don't know what happened." Of course he knew what happened. It was him that was in it. He just wanted to know if they had paid attention. He said, "What happened?" And so they told him, this one that they hoped would be the salvation of Israel had died. But this has been 3 days, and we've heard that he's risen. So Jesus stayed in their home. They prepared a meal, and Jesus gave thanks for the food. That always struck me as very surprising. I wouldn't go into a complete stranger's house, sit down at a table, and give thanks for the food for them. It's not usually done that way, but Jesus did, and by that act, they understood who he was. And they got up. They could have said, "Well, let's see, we just walked 8 kilometers from Jerusalem home. That's kind of a long way to go out. Let's wait till tomorrow." They didn't say that. They said, "Let's go. Let's go back and find the disciples, and we're going to tell them that we've seen Jesus." And they got back there to hear the message that the disciples had already seen him. Isn't that great? So the Lord showed himself to his disciples. Peter preached about the resurrection 6 times. Paul taught about the resurrection 4 times. Paul wrote about the resurrection 21 times in Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, and 2 Timothy. He wrote in every one of those books something about the resurrection. Do you think the resurrection is important? Absolutely. And when Peter preached at the beginning of the church's history, he always talked about the resurrection, because everything depends on the resurrection. Peter wrote about the resurrection just 1 time. But let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15, because we need to find out if there were more than just the disciples that saw the Lord after he rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, let's pick it up at the end of verse 4 again. "He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas," or Peter, "then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also." Wow, that's over 500 people that saw Jesus when he rose from the dead. This is not just a report of somebody who had this wild fantasy that he thought he saw Jesus in the crowd. No, this is for real. And Jesus only ever appeared, as far as I know, Jesus only ever appeared to those who believed in him after he rose from the dead. He never showed himself to unbelievers. He rose from the dead. Why is it so incredibly important? Why is that the foundation stone of Christianity? Look at verse 13 of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 15:13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain. Verse 16, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. That's why the resurrection is so important. That if Jesus had not raised from the dead, there would be no power over death. His claim to have power over death would be void, and we would still be in our sins. We'd be sitting here in church and for no purpose, because our Savior, who claimed to be God, was put in the grave, and that's where he stayed. But he didn't stay there, did he? He came back to life, and we're going to look at one of those stories in John's Gospel. And when I'm done with it, it won't take very long. Many years ago, I wrote a song about this story, and I'm going to sing it to you. So you're all so excited, you'll get up and leave, probably. Anyway, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 20. This is a great story of the resurrection. One of Jesus' most faithful followers was Mary Magdalene. She had been possessed by, was it seven demons, and the Lord cast them out, and she followed him wherever he went after that. And I can understand that. And so on the first day of the week, our chapter says, John 20, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. And you notice she says there, we do not know, not I do not know. I think she was there with some of the other ladies too, but she was the spokesperson. We do not know where they have laid him. So Peter and the other disciple went forth, and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came, following him, and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. Believed what? Jesus was alive. He remembered what Jesus had said. And then a very interesting statement in verse 10. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. Isn't that weird? I mean, here's the most exciting news they could have heard, that their dead Savior was alive. They went home. I could never figure that one out, why they did that. Maybe they were at peace because they knew their Savior was alive after all. We'll find out one day. Verse 11. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. Can you imagine? Jesus said to her, Mary, she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, and my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. Isn't that a tremendous story? Death could not hold him. There's nothing that Satan has ever produced in this world that's conquered Jesus. Jesus has conquered Satan. And death was brought in by Satan because he deceived Adam and Eve to disobeying God, and because of that disobedience, we've had sin in the world ever since. And the end result of that sin is death. And man has been trying for years and years, science has been trying for years to find some way to stop people dying, and they can't do it. They can't bring them back to life either. Only Jesus can do that. And so Jesus' resurrection is so incredibly important. Our whole faith is based on that. If there was no resurrection, we'd have nothing. If there was no resurrection, we'd still be in our sins and we'd be on our way to a lost eternity. I'm so thankful today for the resurrection of Jesus. I'm looking forward to seeing him. And our brother Berwick is already there. But one day we're all going to be there if we believe in Jesus as our Savior. So I'm going to sing you my little song here that I wrote some time ago. It's called He's Living Again.
Mary stood outside an empty sepulcher, grave clothes on the floor, but her Savior was not there. Weeping in the dark hours, early Sunday morn, Jesus had been buried, but his body now was gone. Why do you come looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, he's risen, is what the angel said. Death could never hold him, he's risen from the grave. He gave his life, he's living again. Woman, why are you weeping? Tell me what is wrong. They have taken my Lord, I don't know where they've gone. Her heart filled with sorrow, Mary softly cried, didn't even notice the Savior by her side. Why do you come looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, he's risen, is what the angel said. Death could never hold him, he'd risen from the grave. He gave his life, he's living again. Tell me where you've laid him, I'll take him away. She could never lose him, who turned her night to day. Mary called out Jesus, Master, answered she, go and tell my brethren, we'll meet in Galilee. Why do you come looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, he's risen, is what the angel said. Death could never hold him, he'd risen from the grave. He gave his life, he's living.
Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the words of the angels, he is living again. This morning we worship and adore a living Savior. Your Son who gave his life for us on Calvary's cross, he paid the price for our sins, he was buried, but today he's alive. And we look for him to come to take us to be with him. If we have to go through death first, we know that we'll be with him anyway. and we'll see him face to face. And we look forward to that time when we will see the face of the man who was willing to give his life for us. We thank you for a resurrected Savior, and we commit us to you and ask for help for the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.